Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4. And while you are turning there, I just want to very briefly look at this one passage in Revelation 4 and verse 11. The Word of God says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are created and were created." God said in His Word that He created all things for His pleasure. There's a purpose to the creation, and that is the pleasure of God. And we have to understand that everything that was ever created, starting in Genesis 1:1 with the heavens and the earth, was created with a purpose that God had infused into that creation. And that purpose was the pleasure of God. Now, when it says pleasure, it doesn't mean pleasure like we think of pleasure. It doesn't mean that God became giddy or that He was playing some kind of a cosmic video game. What it means, that word pleasure, is that it was created for the will of God to be revealed. That's the pleasure of God. And if we are going to understand creation, we must start with this truth, that creation was created for the purposes and the will of God. That was the only reason given, for the purposes and the will of God. Now today, we are going to continue in our series on the blood. And we are going to look at something that we don't generally consider when we speak about the blood of Christ, or for that matter, about creation. Now in Hebrews 4, the Word of God says, in the latter part of the verse, that the works were finished from the foundation of the world. The phrase, "from the foundation of the world," is apo katabolis kosmo. And it's usually referring to the laying the foundation of a house in the literal sense. That is the meaning of that phrase. So when it's talking about creating something from the foundation, it is the same type of a foundation as you would lay for a house. You build the house on the foundation. And the foundation of the house must be prepared for the purposes of the house. In other words, if you have a single family home somewhere in suburbia, right? You've got this nice little single family home, 3 bedrooms, 2 baths, a basement and a garage. You're going to have a certain type of foundation. But if you are building a 60-story skyscraper, you're going to have a different type of a foundation. And so the foundation that is laid will always reflect the purpose for which it is laid. In other words, the purpose that which is built on that foundation has, why it is built. The foundation reflects that. So the purpose of a structure always starts with the foundation that is laid for that structure. God created the world. God created the universe. That universe was created with a purpose. The foundation upon which that universe would be built was the finished work of Christ. That was the foundation that was suitable for the purpose of creation. That's why creation was created, to reflect the finished work of Christ. And so, the foundation was, in Hebrews 4:3, the finished work, that the works were completed. In Revelation 13:8, it gives us information that the Lamb was slain from the foundation. And that was the essential part of the works. Now, with the slain Lamb, we have the cross, we have the Word, And we have the blood. We also have the resurrection. Because those three are inseparable as far as the Lamb goes. And it was the Lamb that was slain. So we have the Word, we have the blood, we have the cross, we have the resurrection. Those are the works that were completed from the foundation of the world. In time, these are of course extraordinarily crucial. The Word is the founding cause of our faith. In other words, it's the builder of our faith. And we live by faith as the children of God. The cross was our provision to deal with our judgment, with the fact that we have failed and we are fallen, and that is our penalty. The blood was God's provision, not for the penalty, but for the sins themselves. And then the resurrection was our provision to have the right quality of life that indwells this human, animalistic, physical body. By animalistic, I mean it has the same chemical and often cellular composition as an animal would have. But we obviously are not animals. And so we know that there are two forms of life in us, one that is the same as an animal would possess, which we call bios life, and then there is also resurrection life, the life of God, which is Zoe life. And so we possess both. But the foundation incorporated the Zoe life, because the bios life that we possess is so that there will be a vessel for Zoe life to be contained in. And there we have the foundation upon which creation was established, was built. Now, if you would turn in your Bibles, please, to Genesis chapter 2. In verse 6, the Word of God says, "But there went up a mist from the earth, and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." The corner piece, the masterpiece of creation was humanity. Because humanity was created for God's purpose, really, to be expressed. The rest of creation was created to support humanity. Even the stars were created to support humanity. This is one of the reasons why humanity was not created till the last day of the creation events. And so, all the things, all the structures that were necessary to support humanity were created prior to humanity being present on the earth. Now, scientists are finding that even the galaxy, and the placement of the galaxies within the cosmos influence life on earth. Now, if our life on earth is to be what it is, we have to have a very specific location in our solar system. For example, we have to be in that extremely narrow temperature range whereby water will be liquid. Well, that's only 100 degrees. It's a huge temperature range in which it will be vapor. It's a huge temperature range in which it will be a solid in ice. But it's only a very narrow 100 degree temperature range in which it will be liquid. That's determined by our distance from the sun. But in order for us to be able to exist, and for the earth to have the composition that it has, and for the solar system to have the composition that it has, and in order for us to maintain that distance from the sun, the rest of the solar system needs to have the composition that it has. But then also, we have to be in a specific place within our galaxy. And scientists have told us that there is this thing called a habitable zone. It's a very narrow strip, circular strip, a ring about two-thirds of the way out from the center of the galaxy, where there is virtually nothing. Because the galaxy is an immensely violent place. If we were a little bit closer to the center, we would be pulverized. planet-sized debris would be crashing into us all the time. If we were a little bit farther from the center of the universe, the same thing would happen. But we are specifically in this very strategic location within our universe called that habitable zone, whereby there's not much else there. There's us. There's our solar system, and not a whole lot more. There's a few other things, but not much. Now, that's determined by the quantity of metal that's found within our solar system. If we had a slightly different quantity of metal, we would be too far or too close, and we would be pulverized. So the precision of the composition of our planet, our sun, the planets within our solar system, that is all required to place us very specifically within this habitable zone. And we are there. And we've been there. That's where God placed us. That is part of the purpose of God. So then, when God has established everything that is necessary to support humanity and life on earth, which is really, again, a place to put humanity so that it is there made for us. Why do I say that it's for humanity and not for a horse? Well, number one, a horse was created to be a friend to a human, as were all the animals. And number two, the plan of redemption that is God's purpose, the reflection of grace and the revelation of God's love and its full manifestation is toward man. And so all that was created with a purpose. And since we are the recipients of grace, we are the recipients of the mercy of God, and as we said earlier, those are the first two manifestations of the 1 Corinthians 13:4 love of God and God's long-suffering, patience, and kindness. Since we are its recipients and we are the purpose, then everything else was created for us. Now, let's take a look at what it says here in Genesis 2, 6, and 7. Mist came up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. This is significant. This is extremely significant. The Lord created man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, that word ground is the Hebrew word Adama. And Adama has the meaning of soil and redness. It has a root. The root of the word Adama is Adam. And that's also where the word Adam comes from. So both the word ground and Adam come from this word Adam. And that means to show blood. What were we created out of? We were created out of the ground. But what was the ground created with? Because the word comes from the root, show blood. The purpose of this creation was to reveal the effect of the blood of the Lamb. It was there to show blood. So the blood of Christ is an intrinsic factor within the creation of earth and man. Because the blood of Christ was the vehicle of God's redemption. And so, we were created for that purpose. To be a manifestation of the character of God, which in its fullness is reflected in redemption. What does redemption consist of? Redemption consists of the Word of God, the blood of Christ, the cross, and the resurrection. That is your redemption. The Word of God, the cross, the blood, and the resurrection. You put the Word of God in a man's heart, take him to the cross, cover him in the blood, and allow him to experience the resurrection life of Christ, and you have full redemption. That was also the foundation of the world. That was also what happened when the Lamb was slain, and upon that the world was established. And remember, the foundation is there, and it reflects the purpose of that which is built on that foundation. And so, not only was the Word, the cross, the blood, and the resurrection the foundation of the world, it was also, if you will, the material from which the world was constructed. And we have, within our very physical essence, the Word, the cross, the blood, and the resurrection. This is what Galatians 2:20 says, when we have been crucified with Christ. What happened when we were crucified with Christ? We came to the crucifixion with Christ through the Word, through the cross, and through the blood. We were crucified with Christ, nevertheless we live. There is your resurrection. Yet the life that I now live, I live by faith. What is faith? Romans 10:17, the result of the Word of God in the heart. I live by the faith of the Son of God, the resurrection life of God. And so, every aspect of humanity reflects the work of the blood of Christ. So much so that even the word ground means to show blood. And even the soil, the dirt, he didn't dig out with his big old steam shovel or whatever, backhoe, this hunk of ground. He didn't shovel it out. What did he do? He took some dust off the surface. Stuff that we might consider to be trivial. Stuff you vacuum up in your house. Well, that's the stuff that he took, put it together, breathed into it the breath of life, and what we don't recognize as we're vacuuming our house is that this dust has eternal vacuum. Now, I'm not saying don't vacuum your house. I wonder how many teenagers out there with chores would listen to this and say, "Hey, Mom, I don't have to vacuum. This dust has eternal purpose. Only so long as it's a part of you." But here you have the whole meaning of creation. To reveal the redemption through the blood of Christ. And so the world was established on the effect of the blood. We were built, if you will, on the effect of the blood. The Word of God continues there, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Now, the blood was one part, but it was not alone. It starts out with, "But there went up a mist from the earth." From that which showed blood, there went up a mist. And what did it do? It watered that which shows blood. Well, in the Word of God, when we talk about water, we're talking about the Word of God. We are cleansed by the washing of the water of the Word. And so what we have here is the establishment of two things. To show blood, but we are brought to that blood. The blood is made practical and experiential in our lives. through the Word. And so, when God created us, there were two major components, the Word and the blood. And so what we have here is the blood of creation that we are brought to by the Word of God. God doesn't put anything in the Bible haphazardly. There is a good reason why He said first that the mist arose from the earth and watered it. Because there had to be a saturation of the Word in order for the blood to become experiential. Today, there has to be a saturation of the Word in order for the effects of the blood to become experiential. If I don't have the Word of God, I won't be able to live in its practical benefits. I won't be able to experience the benefits of the blood of Christ. I will possess the benefits positionally. In other words, even if I'm an untaught Christian, I will still, in God's eyes, be perfected. I will still, in God's eyes, possess His righteousness. I will still, in God's eyes, be completely cleansed. But I will not be able to experience what I actually am. And it's through the Word of God that we experience what we actually are. As we're receiving the Word of God, as we're growing in the grace and the knowledge of Christ, we are in fact becoming who we are. And who we are was established in the Word and the blood. And that is our identity with God, Word and blood. Why do you think the word Adam and ground both mean the same thing? They mean ruddy, red. How many red people have you actually seen? Even the races that we would call red are not in fact red. How many red people have you actually seen? Why would God call us red? Because it comes from the word to show blood. He calls us red because we're covered in the blood of the Lamb. And thereby, when God sees us, He sees us red. A few years ago, we preached a message. And in that message, we talked a little bit about the different races and the futility and the stupid nature of discriminating between races. Well, what color does God see us? I don't care what your ethnic origin is, whether you're from Europe or Africa or South America or Asia or wherever else. It doesn't make any difference. God sees one color, and that is red. We are Adam. And that is all God sees. So if we're really going to talk about races in the truth of the Word of God, we can't say white, black, yellow, whatever. We say this, red. You see a person from Europe, you see a person from Africa, you see a person from Latin America or South America or anywhere else, Asia, you say, hey, there is a red man. Well, there was this big red guy. Right? There was this red girl. That's what you say. Because that's the reality of it. Everything else is just a matter of quantities of proteins. Small changes of quantities of proteins. Well, small changes of quantities of proteins don't mean diddly. Small changes of qualities of proteins make me a blonde or a brunette. And that's about as significant as that is. Green eyes or blue eyes or brown eyes. Small changes within the quantities of proteins. It's very significant, isn't it? But what is significant is red. Essentially, we are all the Washington Redskins. Football is of God. What did we say the other day? Football is of God. The Bible says it. David took on the lions and the bears. Right? Elijah received a provision from the ravens. There were giants in the land. We soar as eagles. I wish they would get it together if I'm going to soar like an eagle. And who are we? We are the saints. Football is biblical. Let's face it. The Bible never talks about soccer. Doesn't talk about baseball. I don't mind baseball, but it's not football. Football is redemptive. So it's not wrong for the guy after church on Sunday afternoon to turn on the football game. I wonder how many women on the internet are just furious with me right now. Anyway, let's get back to the message. We were created out of blood and water. And this is the foundation of our creation. In Genesis 5:2, the Word of God says, "Male and female, He created them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam." Name speaks of character. The names of God, for example, reflect the character of God. Israel would give names to reflect what they felt would be the character of their children, which was really interesting with some of their names. Son of my sorrow. That's really a great expectation for the life of your child. His name was Adam. Red. His name was Red. In other words, God named Adam according to His expectation for Adam's character. His design for Adam's character. His design for Adam's identity. And Adam's identity was to be red. And the word comes from Adam, to show blood. So Adam was created with the redemptive purpose. And to reflect the full redemption of God. To reflect the finished work. To reflect mercy. To reflect the grace of God. To reflect the goodness of God. To reflect God's compassions. Adam was created to reflect the finished work. The operation of the finished work brings a person into the image of Christ. And that is why we were created. And so, through the blood, we reflect who Christ is. This was our creation. For God's pleasure. For God's purpose to reflect the fullness of His character. In Genesis 2:19, it continues, "And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called the living creature, that was the name thereof." Now, out of what? Out of the ground. Out of, to show blood. In Genesis 2:18, the Word of God says, "And the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him." In other words, I will make him a help suitable for him. The animals were created first to become helpers and companions to Adam. Helpers in what? Helpers in the revelation of redemption. So even the animals on earth have a redemptive purpose. This is why evolution is such a ridiculous theory from a theological perspective. This is why the gap theory, which tries to incorporate evolution into the theory, is such a ridiculous theory. Because it denies the very purpose for the creation of creation. It denies the very redemption of God. It denies the purpose of the animals and their redemptive portion. How they reflect the redemption of God. They were there to help man reflect the redemption of God. But then God saw that that was not quite suitable, and He created the woman. And the woman was there to help reflect the redemption of God. And the relationship between man and woman, we are told in Ephesians and in Colossians, is the same as God's relationship to us. And that is why things like marriage were instituted. So that the redemptive work, the full character of God and its manifestation, that which is going on between God and humanity, be reflected in a very practical sense to individuals in their intimate lives. And so you have a husband who initiates to his wife the way that Christ initiates to the church, and there you have the vertical, downward initiation of redemption from God to man. And then you have a wife who reflects that character of God, who reflects redemption back to her husband. And there you have the image of what it is that we have faith responses toward God's redemption, and we live in that redemption of Christ. So marriage itself was nothing more than another manifestation and an ability for us to intimately learn about what the blood of Christ did. What it was in our lives. What is the practical meaning and the practical application and the practical effect of the blood in our lives. Ever wonder why God has imperfect people being married to each other? If you're married within the effects of Adam, the Adamic nature, the fallen nature, then all you get is the reflection of a fallen nature. But you get two imperfect people who are filled with the Word, filled with the Spirit, but nevertheless imperfect, and there you have the opportunity for the practical expression of what the blood does for us. It's all about the effect of the blood being revealed. This is why everything was created. It came through the water that watered the ground. It came through the ground that created the man. Put the water with the ground together, and you have humanity along with the breath of life. That ground was made to show blood. The man was made to show blood. And the water is what allows him to live in the experience of the blood he is showing. In 1 John 5:6, this is he that came by the water and the blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. The essence of Christ was through water and blood. The essence of man was through water and blood. The essence of Christ was through water and blood. The first Adam and the second Adam had the same essence, through water and blood. We cannot eliminate these two factors out of humanity. The moment you eliminate one of these two factors away from humanity, you have the fall of humanity. That's what Satan did to Eve in the garden. He couldn't eliminate what she was made of, so he couldn't eliminate the blood. But he could eliminate what made the blood experiential, and so he attacked the Word. By targeting the Word, the blood had no effect. Not in a practical and experiential manner. And so they fell. And so even though they were created to reflect the blood and its redeeming effects, they lived in self-consciousness reflecting the fall. A fallen nature is nothing more than the nature void of the Word and the blood. And there's the fallen nature. Take away the Word and the blood, and all I have is my sin. And so we live by the Word and the blood. What did they defeat the devil by in Revelation 12:11? The Word and the blood. And they did not love their own lives unto the end, the cross. What did the cross provide? The cross provided a means for which the Word and the blood would be reflected, shed, brought about. And so as a believer picks up a cross in his life, he has a means by which the Word and the blood become revealed. And so we live by the Word and the blood and the cross, because that is our essence. It was the essence of the first Adam, it's the essence of the second Adam. But not only that, it is also the essence of what one could potentially call, even though this is not entirely theologically sound, but only an application, what one could potentially call the third Adam. What is the third Adam? In John 19:34, "But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came out blood and water." Well, the third Adam there is the church, the body of Christ. The body of Christ, the church, was born out of what? The Word and the blood. So the essence of a man is the Word and the blood. The essence of the Savior was the Word and the blood. And the essence of the church is the Word and the blood. And in exactly the same way that God put Adam to sleep and created Eve, took out his rib, what did he do? He had to shed blood. In that very same way, Christ had to shed blood to create the second Eve, the church. In the very same way that the Word was necessary for the blood to become effective in the first and the second Adam's manifestation, in that same way the Word is necessary for the church to become effective in its representation of the blood. The church is the vehicle of redemption to the lost and dying world. We don't redeem them, but we bring them the message. And within the church is where we learn how to live in the practical and tangible benefits of the Word and the blood. How? Through the Word and the blood. And so now we have the fullness of the triune creation. See, we know that God is triune. We know that man's trinity, if you will, reflects the trinity of God in his spirit, soul, and body. But in all of creation, in fact, the trinity is reflected. It's brought by the first, second, and third man. And it's reflected by those three men. The redemption of the individual, the work of the Redeemer, and then the vehicle of redemption. And there we have the triune manifestation within creation. Somehow it's amazing that God always does things in threes. Why do you think that is? Because it's Elohim that created the heavens and the earth. All three members of the Trinity, and the purpose of all three members was reflected in that creation. We were created for God's good pleasure, for God's purpose, for God's will. This is what everything was made for. In Isaiah 53 and verse 10, "Yet it was the will of the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief and made him sick." And I'm reading in the Amplified. "When you and he make his life an offering for sin, and he has risen from the dead in time to come, he shall see his spiritual offspring. He shall prolong his days, and the will and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." There you have the outcome of creation. That redemption came. That God's purpose to reflect His love was manifested. And it was manifested through the Word and the blood and the cross and the resurrection. And it was made practical through my creation and in my sharing with Christ the Word and the cross and the blood and the resurrection. Amen.